Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the podcast that you might think is all about the Kardashians and Game of Thrones, but stick with us. We talk about other things too.
Not this week, but another week. We'll talk about other things.
Yeah, maybe.
Next week, maybe.
Well, we just got new statistics that tell us when people turn off the podcast.
Yeah.
So this one right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the beginning.
Yeah,
maybe.
30 seconds in. We are non-experts approaching grown-up situations. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're super glad that you're here with us today.
Yeah, thanks for bearing with my sinus infection last week.
Still yeah, it was gross.
I know.
You're sounding way better.
And, ish. Yeah. Our weather's been okay.
Yeah. You gave it to me, though, so we're...
I don't think sinus infections are contagious, but everyone around me now has one. You and my dad and my brother.
Yeah.
So three people. But still.
Jane Ellis.
Yeah. I don't know that. That child has been sick for 6 months.
She's
I don't
never
think that's my fault.
Anyway, well, maybe she's the carrier monkey. How are you feeling about Psalm West?
I'm feeling like I always think they come up with names that are a thumbs down, and then I hear it more, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I don't know. I kind of like Psalm because I kind of thought Rain was weird, but now I'm like, all right, I guess I'm on board.
I do probably like Psalm better than Rain. Courtney's had two pregnancies due at the same time as two of mine.
What?
And
Which ones? The second two.
She has three. But according to a spoiler site I read, she and Scott are considering having a fourth because they co-parent well, and she is not into having half siblings, though she does have half siblings.
Yeah,
herself.
Sorry for Kendall and Kylie.
She does not want to have
her kids half siblings.
Correct.
So they don't want to get back together.
Correct.
They would just have four children. He has a girlfriend, so that's real.
Yeah, who's like 18.
Yeah,
and Lionel Richie's daughter, as it were. But
other daughter.
I don't know why I ever assumed a Kardashian and myself would choose the same type of name, but I was like constantly worried that she was, and she did, I think, have both babies before I had mine, and I was like frantically
older.
What are their names?
I think it's okay. I'm cool with it.
Okay.
It's a yes for me, I guess.
Okay.
Because I don't know, they're so interesting at this point. Like, I'm just very interested in what they're becoming as people. Like, today, Kim's story was like so many stories, and it was just all the church service. And I'm like, how do I get into this church service? This looks amazing.
Just get into our DMs, and you'll see that they've already replied to us. So
you have already brought
already
that
there.
Up.
I know I have, but I still really like it.
Just the one time, to be clear, we're not actually friends.
Okay, you haven't been in our DMs lately, have you?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. It might be a whole conversation there from all I know. But anyway, what else is going on with women? You have done something really cool today. You don't. You haven't had any Diet Dr. Pepper today.
Oh, right. Yes. And that's why
really
I couldn't remember
thing.
That.
Yeah.
It's
your mind is reacclimating to its own powers.
To like its own oxygen.
Yeah.
It is 8:08 p.m. Mm-hmm. at the time of this recording. Typically, I crack my first EDP at 6:45 a.m.
24 hours ago? Okay.
I never don't have one open.
Right.
But I'm feeling great.
You have two sparkling waters sitting there beside you.
I do.
Two.
And I've had...
One appears to be a 1 liter bottle and one is a can. Both of them opened and half finished.
Thank you.
One almost finished. That's just, I don't know, just information in case anyone...
So in case you ever wonder what we do on our so-called breaks, now you can guess.
I tried.
Drink. I've had so much tea today.
What kind of tea are we having? Chai. So you had chai.
I had a skinny chai latte first. Then I had a Tazo tea bag that like vanilla biscotti.
Interesting.
It's delicious. I'm going to give you some. I think I've told you about it before. And then I had a golden turmeric latte.
Oh, yeah. Those are real trendy here now. Of course.
I know. I found a pre-made concentrate.
Yeah.
Then after I drank it and thought it was great, I loved it. I realized it's not even caffeinated.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. But it tricked me
enough. Don't come at me with like a non-caffeinated beverage. That's a complete waste of time. Not you. Society.
Okay. And then I've had about 12 sparkling waters.
So you'll only go broke on
That's
LaCroix
exactly
for an absurd markup.
But I won't be giving my dollars to the Coca-Cola company.
Yeah.
But I'm taking it day by day.
I do love you, Coke.
Yeah. Never go away. Don't leave us with Pepsi. But
exactly. You could get one of those machines that makes your own... at home sparkling
but then that's
water.
One more thing to clutter my countertops.
Yeah, fair.
We could share custody. Do you want to try?
No. I only want LaCroix brand. LaCroix or Polar Express or whatever. Polar Ice. What is it?
Polar Express takes you to Christmas.
Oh,
yeah. Polar Seltzer.
It's not Polar Ice?
No, Polar Seltzer is a holiday in your mouth.
Oh, you're currently drinking it. Yes, okay. It is just polar.
Oh, I
confirmed.
Have two.
Okay,
two flavors.
Either polar or LaCroix.
Yeah.
Open to sponsorships.
I will tag them right now. Perfect. Anyway, yeah, I'm feeling great. Here's the deal. I am taking it day by day.
Uh-huh.
As most addicts do.
Sure.
It's in the steps. But
I think it's the same thing.
I think so. Anyway, I feel like if I'm like, I'm never having one again.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
too
realistic.
Big. Yeah.
But I also can't, like, Maylee was telling me today, well, why don't you just scale back? Like, why don't you just.
Oh, yeah. Which one? You've tried.
That's the deal. Can't do it.
Yeah.
If I have any, I have all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
But, okay, so this weekend I attended a wedding. I had three glasses of wine on Saturday night.
Sure, as we all do as responsible adults.
Yeah,
and just kidding.
Spent all of
not
yes.
judging anyone's alcohol intake.
You could. anyway, I spent a Sunday feeling like I was hit by a truck.
I know, man. It's
I was like,
we're not 25 anymore.
No, I was baffled. But like I was telling you earlier, I didn't even get like the enjoyment of
right.
like a real strong buzz.
Yeah, because three glasses is like
yeah, it was
nothing.
Fine.
Yeah,
and
because they're probably light pours because they do light pours at weddings anyway.
Correct.
So
yeah, you know, you were there with me apparently because you know what I'm living with.
I've served alcohol at a wedding in my life, so I know how they do.
Served or consumed?
Well, both. I mean, both of those things have happened. But I just remember that conversation at for our wedding planning. They were like, "Oh, we'll do less because it's an open bar, so they do like a 2 ounce pour or something like that."
Well, I spent my Sunday with a real hangsy tummy, a real hangsy tum-tum. as a real sloshy tummy.
Oh, did you tell your child that you had a hangover?
Educate early. No, Hannah, when I was pregnant
sure,
before.
Sure, like weirdly, she just knows what hangsy tummy. That's a weird thing for her to come up with on her own.
That's what I call it. That's okay. what I call it.
Sure.
She calls it a sloshy tummy.
Sure.
When she witnessed me puking my guts out while I was pregnant with her
oh my
beloved
gosh.
Sister.
I was taking a sip when you said that.
Your hot, hot tea.
It's cooled down to almost room temperature now.
I would be like, go tell daddy that I have a sloshy tummy.
Red again. Alert.
And so she uses it all the time. Anywho, spent Sunday real sloshy tum-tum. And I was like.
Time to really reevaluate my life.
I have to reevaluate everything. Like, one, if I cannot have three glasses of Pinot Grigio, like.
Yeah.
Twice a month. I don't know what's
right.
happening to me.
What is life worth living at this point?
There's nothing. But anyway, I just decided I need to like be empowered with what I put into my body.
Yes.
I do not want to feel like this anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't like feeling bloated. Mm-hmm. I didn't like funneling Diet Dr. Pepper into my mouth.
Right.
You and I went to the pool because I'd forgotten one in the freezer and let it thaw. It was delicious.
Oh,
but
yeah, that sounds amazing.
It was really good.
So refreshing. It's so hot.
But, I just decided today, like, you know what? I'm taking back control of how I feel.
Right. That's awesome.
What I'm choosing to put in my body, because I just felt like I wasn't choosing it anymore. It was choosing
yes.
me.
Yes. Yes. Vices are a thing, because that's how I was with, like, junk food and sweets.
Yeah.
In that I honestly felt like it was that like I had no choice but to like eat my feelings.
I'm
like
a slave
I didn't really
to it.
Right. Like I didn't really used to eat my feelings until I had kids. And it's just like the one thing that I felt like would make me feel better. So it was really just like, okay, I can't. I don't know. Like but I also had to get there. Like this hasn't been a long time. Like this has been pretty recent since I've like mostly given up junk food.
Well, mine's
mostly.
Been 12 hours and it's going
right.
great.
Mine's been 13. No,
well,
I'm just kidding.
But even with that, like I then start to we've talked about it before where I'm like, I wouldn't do paleo or Whole30.
Right.
But I make all of these rules that really are probably just like justifications to continue eating crap the way I eat it.
Uh-huh.
But like telling myself, oh, it's because I don't want all these restrictions on myself. Which
right.
is
which
still
I don't.
True.
Yeah, I get that.
But then I put so many contingencies around it that I want the improved health benefits with absolutely zero behavior change.
Right.
And I'm
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, well, this is clearly not working
right.
the way I thought.
But you know what I've noticed? I've been trying to, Amanda went to a, dietitian or what's the other word
nutritionist?
For yes thank you a nutritionist and I was like can you ask her to send her all these questions but that
it feels like you were really mooching off
yeah,
of her diet
I was
to get
they were it was really I was like should I FaceTime in or because anyway that woman gave her some really good advice about crowding out
huh.
like stuff and so like instead of just like eating a ton of vegetables, for instance,
right.
which, for instance, I really love sugar snap peas and carrots because mm-hmm. it's extremely satisfying. It's like super crunchy and easy, okay. like
yep.
baby carrots,
yep.
which I know there's like a thing about baby carrots, but I'm like,
carrots,
whatever, but... like I can't bother with that right now.
But you know, they don't grow that way, right?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Little bunches, like a little bunch of bananas.
Little baby.
Little carrot vine.
No, I think they like soak them in formaldehyde or whatever, but I mean, it's a vegetable,
it's
so
fine.
They do something, but I just I can like just eat a ton of those, and then since I've been
that's why your skin's looking so good, being preserved with that formaldehyde.
Yeah, that's a little pro tip from an expert.
Beauty hacks:
stick your face in formaldehyde. But
good
anyway, I've just been doing like a lot more veggies as snacks, and then like a couscous bowl for lunch.
Oh yeah,
I'm sorry, quinoa.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said that. I always mix those two up, and I like do quinoa, a protein.
I'm pretty sure the marketing people have just renamed the same thing.
Completely different grains.
They're the same.
Have you been making the same thing and calling it two things for? Like
for
a while,
my kids,
like
yeah, a hangover, hangsy tum tum.
Yeah, same. Yeah. There you go. Anyway. My point with that saying, I am not a dietitian or a nutritionist. No one says dietitian. Maybe I should. I don't know.
No,
anyway.
They are two different things.
Oh, okay.
A registered dietitian and a nutritionist.
Okay.
Kind of like an ophthalmologist, an optician. They're different.
Optometrist.
Yep.
Sure.
All of you eye doctors.
Yeah.
DM us.
But anyway, my point is I've gotten some healthy tips, but again, like I really just decided it was time to be healthier. Like
yeah.
No one can really make you. But now that I've done that for like a couple weeks, weekends are harder, especially because okay. we've been doing Game of Thrones Sundays.
Right.
But weekends are harder. But throughout the whole week, like those things that I do end up having like on the weekends do not taste the same to me.
Oh, interesting.
So like the satisfaction is not there. And like, even like I've had some junk food here and there that mm-hmm. like chocolate is like such a weak point for me, but it does not do the same thing for me right now that it did like in the winter.
Well, even
I'm also not hibernating anymore. So there's that.
Well, even, you know, 13 hours DDP free. I made
a timer. I picture yeah. a timer above your head.
That's how it feels like. Anyway, I made us baked sweet potatoes tonight to go alongside some scallops.
Mm-hmm.
And I put just a sprinkle of brown sugar on mine, and it tasted so sweet. I mean, I know that nothing is actually out of my system yet, but not having like actual
I'm a changed person.
But
that other stuff was garbage. You people have no idea what you're missing.
I'm gonna be so pious about this.
Yes.
No one has any idea.
Every time you see someone drinking a soda, you're just like,
yeah. Allison, who stocked Dr. Zevia in my fridge to try to get me to change, has no idea what a monster I'm about to be off of DDP. I'm going to look down on everything.
Oh, that's one choice.
Yeah, sure.
That you can make.
Good. Yeah. We don't love our kids to be around them.
Yeah. If you could just actually be a good person and not drink your soda.
Anywho, so basically not having a fresh layer of aspartame all over my mouth has already made a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's super interesting. Well, good for you.
Well, speaking of Sunday night Game of Thrones night, you don't have to worry about snacks anymore, but you do probably have some feelings you might want to eat.
I have a lot. I do. There's a lot of things I want to do with my feelings. I did appreciate that very much. I don't know, nothing further from last week other than I thought I couldn't be disappointed because I expected nothing and I was disappointed. But I will say that I saw, like, I know a lot of people thought that it was like a good storyline that I was discussing last week, like where within an episode, suddenly the protagonist is the antagonist and burns a city full of innocent people. That's one thought process.
That's one way you
right.
can see it.
But I mean, like, a lot of people say that, like, oh, this was foreshadowed, which, fine. This is, like, the way they ended last night would have been fine if they had taken the full 12 seasons that HBO wanted to give them. Because they could have started this season to, like, really make her look kind of crazy. Because I talked to you about this before, but Sons of Anarchy is the mm-hmm. best show I've seen, and I'm sure there are other examples. I'm just, this is the one that comes into my mind, that portrays people that you really love from the beginning, and then by the end, you hate them.
Yeah.
And
I told you Breaking Bad is like that.
Right, you said that about Breaking Bad, that because Gemma Teller in Sons of Anarchy, and even Clay, it's been so many years since I've seen Sons of Anarchy, Clay is his name, right?
I barely watched.
Think it's
Sons
Clay.
Of Anarchy.
Kurt. No, it's Clay. Kurt is her husband
it's
in real life.
It's not part of my taste level. But
yeah.
I know some of the more
common.
Some of the more common viewers may enjoy it.
No, but They really make her, like, you really root for her in the beginning, and then you really hate her in the end.
Right.
And it totally makes sense. And, like, there is good writing out there that shows people declining into, like, depravity and insanity, like, yeah. for lack of a better word. But, like, two episodes ago, we were rooting for you. So, like, it doesn't make sense, and it's an insult to all of our intelligence. And they could have had full-on 12 seasons. Like, HBO wanted to give them a lot of more seasons. They decided to cut it short because they wanted to go on and do Star Wars. I am extremely upset about that. I think I said that last week.
You did, in many words. But I wish that they had made last night just, like, there was no longer any Game of Thrones, and it was just, like, an hour and 22-minute trailer for Star Wars.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Like, where they're like, ha, joke's on all yeah, of you.
Yeah, the game ended last week. Guess who ends up? I mean, I was extremely, extremely unsatisfied with the ending because, again, it's... And you could... I'm like, these actors must have hated this.
Yeah.
But... I'm just like, the one guy who did nothing, like, he didn't even take himself on the journey he went on. He had to have people take him because he couldn't.
He's handicapable.
Right. But I'm saying, like, he still, like, used other people and then immediately discarded those people. Like, one of them sacrifice himself for him. Turns out he had also gone back in time to make that person the way he was mentally in that place in the first place. And then the
just
other.
Like Hermione Granger. Trying to take her exam.
What?
You know, she has that, like, stopwatch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yep.
I'll have to relate it to you.
Time turner.
Yeah.
But, and then the other person who stuck with him, even when his dire wolf was killed, like, one person stuck with him, and then he, like, barely cared because he's like, I'm the three-eyed raven. And he refuses to rule his family house, shows up in the finale, and they're like, you should be king because you have the best stories. And it's like, okay, everyone sitting around here actually has a way better story than him. That's a really weird way of deciding a king, first of all, but...
I love that way.
It was, yeah.
Gather around, folks.
Yeah.
Gather around, America.
Super
have
weird.
A story to tell.
And the funny thing was, one of the characters suggested essentially democracy, and everyone laughed it off, which was hilarious, and they were that like, that's funny. Stupid. And then the next person came in and suggested democracy, and they all accepted it. I'm like, this is so lazy that you didn't even try.
That's a good point. So I, again, have not followed it, but I have been very much on the bandwagon of seeing what production has missed in every episode.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, okay, the Starbucks cup we've talked about, there was, like, a hand situation. Did you see this one?
No. Surprised I didn't see it.
Where somebody had lost a hand,
mm-hmm.
then in the next scene giving a hug, he's hugging and his hand is visible that he had lost.
Jamie? Because he has a metal hand or a golden hand. Well, that's not shocking to me. You saw the one from today?
With the water bottle?
The water bottle?
Yes.
It's disrespectful.
So it did feel like it was like three episodes in a row. And I know then people were like really looking for them. And if you like
right.
search things out, you find it.
Right.
But it was really funny that it was like this show has been pretty pristine. And the
yeah.
and then, like, the last three episodes, they're like, ugh.
You didn't even care.
It's DGAF.
Yeah. Like, and like... It's one thing, this really bothered me. Lily Reinhart, I think that's her name, who plays Betty Cooper on the Archie show, on the CW
Riverdale.
Or whatever. Yeah, thank you. She, like, came on saying, because someone, which I thought was hysterical, put up a petition to refilm season 8.
That's funny.
Because it's been so disappointing.
Yeah.
And it got, like, over a million signatures the last time I saw. And she went on Twitter, like, saying, like, it's real. Basically, she was coming down on it, saying you shouldn't criticize art. Mm. You didn't make the art. You shouldn't criticize the crew, I think, because she was saying you shouldn't criticize the cast and crew. It's, you can't really come in and criticize art. And I'm like, first of all, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I can. And also, we're paying for this service.
Right.
Like, this isn't, like, and a lot of people were like, well, to be fair, like, you commission art. You absolutely
you can
criticize
yeah.
it. And I really hate, they had a really good discussion on Keep It recently.
Another podcast.
My favorite podcast. Second favorite.
Okay, you watch your tongue.
I know. What is her name? Olivia Munn. Not Olivia Munn. Olivia, who's married to the actor.
Oh, Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde, thank you. They had a recent episode with Olivia Wilde and a discussion about artists not liking criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there's a lot of writers out there whose job it is to critique albums and
right.
movies. And if they don't get a great critique, artists will come out and say, if you're not writing the music, if you're not
yeah.
doing it, you shouldn't critique. That's absolutely not true.
But they, like, don't say it the other way. When they're
right.
getting praise, like,
oh, yeah.
You don't
they
have to
lavish
love this.
And retweet right. and all of that. Like,
I mean, we do here on this pod.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this does not go for the person who gave us a 2-star rating. That's totally different.
Still show your face. I'm ready for a conversation.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, I'm just like, artists, you can be criticized. You're putting yourself out there open to criticism. And like, I'm not saying like that these people did a bad job. I'm specifically attacking the writers who, according to a Time magazine piece that I read today, linked to something about how, like, not only is it like an almost all male writing room this whole time, but it's also like women have been like barred from it in different ways. So that's Google that on Time magazine and check it out for yourself. But it's like, you can't, I absolutely can criticize you, and especially because this is a extra paid service. And also, it would be one thing if we were watching like Grey's Anatomy, something else that's a 23 episode a year run on network television, and they left a water bottle, or that's a bad example because that's a modern day show, but like a mistake like this, like, it would make sense, and I wouldn't care. But like, you people put out 10 episodes a season, only 6 this time. You made us wait extra long because you said it took so long.
Right.
And then you hurried so much so that you wanted to cut it short and suddenly make one, like, kill all of your character arcs. A ton of hints added up to nothing. Like, so many storylines just don't make any sense. So many things were hinted at for nothing. And you didn't even care. Like, a coffee cup sitting in front of your star, like a water. What? Someone's job is to watch for that. Multiple people, I'm sure. I'm just like, it's disrespectful. I'm so angry.
Yeah, well, I can tell. And let me just tell the listeners. David Airy, my husband, has been really into Game of Thrones since it came out. He thought he was a fan. He spent the last 4 episodes of the season watching at Hannah and Passan's house.
With the gang.
Yeah.
11 of us.
Okay. Well, he came home last night, and immediately I was like, one, who is on the throne?
Right.
I don't care, but who is
it? Right. No one cares. It's garbage.
And he told me, and then he was like, you know, I thought that I liked Game of Thrones, but like, clearly I didn't in comparison to Hannah and the rest of the crew.
We just like started, like the it was opening scenes and we're just like, boo.
Well, I was borrowing another neighbor, Zach and Sarah's oven while you guys were watching the show.
Sure.
And I was saying, you know, is everybody home? Because I still have muffins over there and don't want to leave them too long or whatever.
Right.
Side note. But thank you, Zach and Sarah, for letting me make muffins. But he was like, oh yeah, I was the first one to leave. They were like yelling about stuff.
100%.
Like, okay.
They, I mean,
he was like, it was funny because he was like, I thought I liked it, but clearly I do not love it in that
I
way.
Am impressed with his participation because I know that he does not talk during shows, and he talked with us during shows, so good for you, David. You're a team player.
Yeah, but he also told me he will be rewatching that episode, so he understands what happened.
Nothing happened. It was an hour and a half of people walking. That's the other thing. They spent so much time with people walking around, and I was just so angry. There were unexplained time jumps. It's so lazy. I can't, like, I don't know. It was garbage, and I'm so over it. The funny thing was, at the beginning of the episode, they'll play like a quick ad, usually for another HBO show. But at the beginning of this episode, they played a very prolonged, basically ad for HBO, with like tons of upcoming content and like tons of old content.
So
basically,
it's like, we know this is awful.
Yeah,
please come back.
Yeah, they're
here.
Like, please don't cancel. Like, we love you.
We have really
we love
great
us.
Things.
We have great things, and they do. I do like a lot of their content. Veep just ended, which I like. And it had a bit of a interesting ending, but they have a lot of good content. It's not on them. They were going to give them all the budget.
Well, don't worry. Big Little Lies.
David and Dan's fault. Not you, David.
Not,
David Benioff.
Not our David.
Also listening.
But Big Little Lies season 2 is coming out.
Oh, I'm so excited
really
about that. That's going to be good.
Meryl Streep's in it. And
yeah.
Failed to mention her in our Shiro's episode many episodes ago, and I still think about that.
We've
every
been
day.
Talking about that a lot. You bring that up quite a bit. That's like one of your biggest regrets
it is.
Professionally,
it
I
is.
Assume.
It is. I'm putting it on my resume as a weakness. Forget Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. I don't know.
Thanks
That's
for
a
tuning
lot.
In for this Game of Thrones episode.
I gotta come down.
We will take a quick break. I am super hydrated, and we will come back to talk more.
All right, it is May now, and I'm coming to realize your comment a few weeks ago about Maycember, which I'm crushing.
Yeah, Maytober. It's whatever you want it to be.
I don't know. Overwhelming May. That's what I'm calling this.
Good.
This month has been crazy.
May so cray.
Okay. Well,
Hashtag it.
Sure. Okay. Anyway, I have my kids' end of preschool coming up, and unlike you, I am room mom. Also, unlike you, I am not carrying the room mom duties.
Thank you. I was about to say, I am self-appointed.
Yeah, I think you made that clear last week or something. But I mean, I'm not a good room mom. Like, okay. I don't remember things.
Well, it's good that you know that about yourself.
Sure. Anyway, if I was a good room mom,
sure,
I would hit up Susie B because she has amazing teacher gifts.
She does. She has not just great teacher gifts. She has excellent bridal shower gifts, just because things for you.
Yep.
Inspirational messages, the perfect just encouragement.
Yeah, she's got a great story. I love to talk to her.
Yes, she does. She creates, I would say, lifestyle accessories out of what is encouraging her and speaking to her. They sometimes they're funny
from
and
the heart,
irreverent.
For sure.
Yeah, sometimes they're funny and irreverent. Sometimes they are much more like spiritual. Mm-hmm. But they all everything that she carries in her shop, including cute monogramming for kids' clothes.
Yeah,
my girls always look really
Your
cute.
Your girls live in them.
They do.
They always wear their names on things.
Yeah, they need to know.
I don't. My kids are gonna have issues about that because I can't.
Well, it's weird. My kids aren't afraid of strangers. It's because there aren't any. Everyone knows their name.
That's a good point.
So anyway, not so great for child safety.
Sure.
But the quality is great.
Just to wear amongst family events That's and not leave perfect. Your house in. It's ideal.
It is ideal. We get lots of compliments on everything. But I gave my teachers some Susie B keychains that say Chief Chaos Coordinator, which are pretty cute.
Oh, I love that.
So they don't have another teacher, you know, emblazoned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, everything in the Susie B shop is $25 and under, which is perfect. Mm. And really any occasion
That's
that you need.
That's what I'm looking for.
When meso cray or just.
Yeah.
Is
yeah, so we are sticking
Is
with
it
that. Okay, yeah, sure.
They're fetch. She has really fetch gifts in her store. So check them out. Shop online at www.susieb.com. You can check the link in our show notes and use the promo code GOODIDEA15 for 15% off your order.
All right. We're back.
Sure we are.
And today's conversation is what I'm considering the elephant in the ladies' room.
Ooh, I like that.
TM. Sure, sure. You know, we're all about women and what women are affected by and struggle with. And lately we've had a lot of stuff come up in our country about abortion and abortion rights. This is something, I don't know if you feel the same way, that I felt like for a lot of my life was like really taboo.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that we got to talk about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I still feel like, at least in this culture presently, like as in this week, if
sure.
you are talking about anything against abortion, it is an even harder conversation to have. Celebrities seem to kind of be spearheading this be proud of your abortion movement, which I'm having a difficult time with. Not because I don't want anyone ever harbored by shame.
Sure.
But I think that there's a way to be respectful about that as well. But I, you know, I've talked before about how even in the last few years, I have been challenged by what I thought were some really core beliefs in things. And abortion
right.
is one of those that has always been very black and white for me.
Yeah.
However, I still feel that way. I feel very black and white about abortion. However, legislation and policies around it are what have been challenged in my own, I don't know,
okay.
mores.
Yeah.
But it is a hard conversation to have. And it is one kind of like a white person trying to relate to a person of color and like really wanting to know how to have the conversation that it feels
right.
weird of like, tell me how I can be more open-minded about your abortion, which
right, like,
I don't
right,
agree
like,
with.
Tell me about your abortion.
Yeah,
some
I don't
people
agree
will,
with it, so, but it's hard. It feels stumbly.
Right. And I think a lot of that, too, is because it's been, like, so like, you can't, I don't think it's, like, an open conversation. Like, I think for a lot of times it's, like, abortion is wrong, shut it down.
Right.
I feel like abortion is a social issue. I think you probably feel the same way. So I would agree. What my goal is with talking about it is basically to hear each other out.
Yes.
Because what I see a lot in my social media, which is for sure more liberal than conservative, but I follow some people who are pretty conservative, and it's a lot of yelling back and forth. And the interesting thing is, like, I'll see something and get kind of I don't know. It's like, I just want to like put it down. Like it was a lot of that for me over this, like last weekend or last week, like when that was just like kind of flying around social media. And it's a lot of like, you think this, well, you think this, well.
Well, and there, yeah, there is a lot of like a bucketing of people, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like stigmatizing, I guess, of if you do not agree with abortion and you are very black and white in how you feel about it, you are a bigot, you are closed-minded, you are all of these things in this bucket. Then there's if you are pro-choice, you are a murderer. You know, it's like there are all of these harsh.
It's harsh, very harsh.
That it's like, well, it that kind of makes it impossible because
it does. And I go ahead.
Well, and I think it's figuring out that there is some ways to talk about things to be okay with finding a gray area in what you would otherwise feel like is very black and white.
Right. And I think one reason that could be is because it's another, like, there are a lot of issues that we as women feel personally offended by if someone doesn't agree with us.
For
whether
sure.
you breastfeed or bottle feed,
yeah,
whether you
point.
Believe in abortion or don't. I mean, it's not really like a belief. First of all, abortions have been happening since the beginning of time. This legislation and any legislation that legalizes or illegalizes it doesn't stop abortions. That is not how we stop abortions. There is data that shows that there are ways to stop abortion, to drastically lower the amount of abortions. And
sex
I want to get into that.
And,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. You didn't want to
settle down.
Sex education.
Sex education. But no, I mean, oh, that's my dream of thought.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was like Anna Blair in there.
Yeah.
Miss
Hannah! No doubt. Now that's going to come up along with hangzy tummy or whatever.
Hangzy tum tums.
Hangzy tum tums. But
sex education.
Yeah.
This week's episode.
Yeah.
Title.
Well, someone's got to teach the kids. Am I right? Someone's got to teach the under fours. But I mean, I guess what I'm really trying to get around with as I find my way back to the point I was making. It's like, you know, we can all share a lot of stuff on Instagram and see things that I'm just like immediately a little bit angered by.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But in reality, like these are people I would see and have a conversation with and be friends with in person. So like my point is before, like, first of all, we need to take a breath before we get angry because you, like, we're all the same, ultimately, especially moms, like, and especially like women, like ultimately humans, we love mostly the same. We feel pain mostly in the same way. So like, first of all, we're not like, there's not that difference that we're being told is there. And the difference is largely manufactured. So back in the 70s, the craziest thing that I've learned in the last several months is the following. There was a meeting of the minds because private schools were being forced to desegregate or not accept like any government aid or something. Like, it goes back to racism, which is bananas to me.
Yeah.
How, like, the more and more I learned that so many things go back to our country's inability to acquaint ourselves with the fact that we have a very racist history. And we could avoid having a racist present if we...
That's interesting. Yep.
...had acknowledged that. But there's not really been acknowledgement on a grand scale, and there's a lot of erasure, in fact. So back when these meeting of the minds, and the name that sticks out to me is Bob Jones. And I think it was either Bob Jones or his son. And that sticks out to me because we had those textbooks in school.
Oh, yeah.
We're trying to decide, like, basically who to, like, align themselves with. Mm-hmm. Because from what I understand, the evangelical belief was life begins at birth. And there's a lot of Bible verses to suggest that breath equals life.
Okay.
So back then, they were basically needing to align with another group. They needed to, like, team up. And so the suggestion was, why don't we go with abortion? Because the Catholics don't stand for abortion.
Okay.
Gotcha. So at that time, that, like, abortion became kind of a thing and the religious right. There's a lot of manufacturing of our beliefs, and that's the point. Like, I'm not saying, I'm not out here to change the way you feel. I'm just out here to say a lot of things that we believe, you need to find out where it started. Oh, another reason I want to talk about this is because I've done a lot of research. Thankfully, I have not had to be faced with this choice in my life. But I've read a lot of stories of people that have, and I think if you can read the stories, you can see the humanity there.
Well, and I think that's a good point. I was going to bring this up when you made this point earlier, so I'm glad that you said it again. I think the problem with what we read, especially in very incendiary conversations, mm-hmm. is it's so easy to strip each other's humanity out of it.
Yes.
You know, because you read a story of someone who's had an abortion and immediately you label them mm-hmm. heartless.
Mm-hmm. Murderer.
You don't know what that feels like.
Right.
I don't. We weren't there. But, you know, I do think what is really difficult, and a lot of this stems from, to your point, religious aspects, healthcare, mm-hmm. politics, because for me, I can tell you I've never had an abortion, but if you looked on my medical records, that's exactly what it would say. Mm-hmm. When I had a miscarriage, I did not want to have a DNC. I hoped to miscarry that pregnancy on mm-hmm. my own, and I didn't after 3 weeks. So I had a DNC. So now I have an abortion on my medical record because that is how healthcare mm-hmm. categorizes it. With the new legislation, I would be in Alabama. Mm-hmm. I would be considered a lawbreaker.
You could be looked at. They could investigate you for that.
Where my core is like, I would never have one.
Right.
Technically, according right. to all paperwork.
Right. I mean, and I would say too, now you as a woman in your 30s who's settled would never have one.
No, I would not. But it is just interesting that suddenly this terminology that, to your point earlier too, has been so taboo and mm-hmm. something that like a lot of people have a physical reaction to even like saying it, mm-hmm. you know, it's on my record, and it's faced with other women. I read a story today that a woman had a DNC. She saw abortion on her medical record and has like been petitioning it to be removed because she's so highly offended that that is part of her mm-hmm. her record.
Because she didn't make that choice.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because I feel that way. Like, I want to take that off of my record. I hate it. But it's not in my control. And mm-hmm. so I understand, even in like a very weird, loose way of right. getting back to that, of like, well, I don't have control of what terminology is placed on me. So mm-hmm. suddenly something is happening to me that has taken my choice out of
right.
it. And I think that we have got to strip these labels of pro-life or pro-choice.
Oh, because agreed, completely.
It's fine to feel black and white about certain things. To me, life begins at conception. That is my definition. That, regardless of how anyone classifies it, that's mm-hmm. for me is. But I don't feel comfortable calling myself pro-life or pro-choice. Mm-hmm. I am anti-abortion. Mm-hmm. In almost all cases, I know you can really split hairs and say, well, what about rape? What about incest? You know, I don't know. I know that I know. Mm-hmm. But I think where we start to get so name-call-y and so black and white about something that isn't is to say, well, if you're pro-choice, then you hate all life.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, you know?
Right.
Like,
a lot
if you
of
are pro-life, then you do not like women's
right.
empowerment to choose for their bodies. And it's like, well, no, I mean, I want both of them. Like, I want right. both of those things. But if you try to make a complex issue two-sided, that's where it gets really messy. And I think the lines are drawn so quickly.
Right. Well, and I want to talk about you talking about control, because that's very interesting. And a big part of this, too, is these bills are not actually about pro-life.
Correct.
These things are being sold to us
yes.
as a smokescreen to say, like, some of these people are murderers. Some of us care about life. These are pro-life bills. These bills will not help anyone's life at all. They will either force people to find illegal abortions that are life endangering, or they will force children to be born in poverty. Forcing these bills on people continues the cycle of poverty. There's a lot of stories about people who cannot afford another child, and that's why they would make the choice of an abortion, which is why there are a lot of social solutions to lowering abortions. And that's a lot of the story. Like, there's a high percentage of people getting abortions that are already moms because mm-hmm. they can't afford another child. And these bills are not ways to really be pro-life. If you really wanted to, not by the people, and I'm not addressing this to people, I'm addressing this to Congress, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's a smokescreen by them. If they really cared about life, they would pass legislation to at least study gun violence. And you look like you want to say something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, you know, I think it's also important to realize that their goal is not of these bills is really to be escalated higher to the Supreme Court to challenge Roe v. Wade.
Right.
But in the landscape of our political lives, in order to do that, they are making immediate impacts on other people's lives. I don't think that they're understanding the collateral damage that what that does to achieve a higher goal. It's mm-hmm. like, well, we don't really care about the damage that'll do in the...
No, they certainly do not care because, again, gun violence is a very preventable thing. No developed country in the world has the level of gun violence that we do at all. Right. It is preventable. We could have changes to that. It's absurd that we've banned abortions again before we've even brought something about gun violence to the table. Also, the fourth this year immigrant child at the border just died in U.S. custody.
Well, and it's interesting because I think the way that party lines have fallen, most of the most outspoken pro-lifers, again, I would put myself in that camp if I had to choose, tend to also be the least compassionate about immigrant issues.
Right. Right. It's very hypocritical.
It is. And again, it's not just the pro-lifers. Some of it works both ways, but mm-hmm. Some of the most impactful things that I've seen include a quote. You posted it, I think, that immigrant children have heartbeats too.
Right.
And I do think that for those of us who have issues with abortion, to really challenge life as it is to everyone,
Right. I mean, poor people are still children too. And if, so now we can get into a little bit of like the social aspect of it. Because there's a lot to be said about the fact that these bills are set out to control women. Like, for sure, again, this doesn't prevent women. And again, these people who come out every 5 minutes and have had an affair or right. a love child or something, they right. will always be able to attain the abortions they need for their family. This is mostly going to hurt poor people. And forcing children on someone who isn't ready, or saying to someone simply, well, you could choose adoption, without walking through that fire yourself, you're forcing other people to do something you think you would do in their position.
Right.
Those are great programs, but also, again, foster children. There are so many kids in the foster system. Like, there are kids we can help, and there are kids that these people could be helping. It's fine to say that you care about life, but you're not really paying attention to all life. You are paying attention only to birth. So again, I would say these people, not again, but by again, I mean the people who are making the laws are not pro-life, they're pro-birth.
Well, and I do think for me, some of the issue stems into, at least in these bills, not even the abortion itself. One of the big issues to me with these bills, beyond just the abortion side of things, is how it criminalizes women, mm-hmm. but does not criminalize men.
Right.
And conception is
a two-person game.
Literally cannot be achieved.
Right.
Without. And so, again, I do think it marginalizes women who are already in vulnerable situations.
For sure.
And strips them of any choice. Empowerment.
Right, yeah.
Which, whether I agree or disagree with the decision or not, that is problematic. That
right.
women are criminalized, though they are a 50-50 partner.
Right.
But own 100% of the burden in that situation.
Agreed, completely. And like I was saying, there are ways to prevent abortions. I would not call myself pro-life because I don't really identify with anything that people who call themselves pro-lives identify with.
Sure.
I don't love abortions. And that's the thing is, like, there's this myth that's being peddled around that yeah. people are using abortions as birth control. And
right.
you and I talked about this, and it's really what spurred this on about mm-hmm. a week ago, was some celebrities. I specifically do not like how Chelsea Handler has done this in the past, but I don't Correct. Like a whole lot that she's really does at all. But
right.
People tend to be like a little bit celebratory of it.
Yes.
And like you were just saying, and I think a part of that is them kind of like shouting back in the face mm-hmm. of control. But at the same time, like, I think what they're trying to say is that they don't have regret, but what's coming off is something that, again, politicians like, twist to say, well, see, they're out here doing this all the time.
Yeah. And, I think for me, where that is an issue is the way it is presented, and probably because it's a celebrity. Mm-hmm. I was going to say celebratory. Those are hard.
Sure.
Yeah. glamorizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way
which
they present
it. Which it is not a glamorous procedure.
No. And also makes it feel so simple. You know?
It really makes it feel black and white. And it's not black and white.
Jameela Jamil, who I usually love. I really did not care for the way she presented it.
I agreed with you on that.
Minka Kelly also came out with her own story. Very similar in tone to Jameela Jamil. Like,
mm-hmm.
this was the best decision I could make for that child. And I'm like, I don't know. The way it was set up, I didn't love it. But it also made it seem so simple. So if a younger fan was watching that and found themselves in a terrible situation, if what they know is the best thing that I could possibly do in this situation is make an easy decision and have an abortion.
Right.
I think that that is ignorant to the fact and naive of there is emotional aftermath.
There's a lot of painful aftermath and emotional aftermath.
And that's not what I'm seeing discussed.
I see what you're talking
about. So if I saw somebody, I would respect more if Jameela Jamil had said, I made that decision. I do not regret it. I still believe that was the best decision I could have made.
Right. Mila Jovovich did that.
Yes. Yes.
Very appropriately, I thought. Because she really talked about how hard it was. She had a bit of a later case because there was a serious serious thing. Yeah. So she, I felt like, really talked appropriately about how rough it really is, and which is why I really encourage you to just see what people say for themselves, mm-hmm. because every person, for lack of a better word, is not shouting it as far as like, oh yeah, this was great. I mean, like, you will see that because you will see every type of person in the world.
Well, you know, I do think that that is true of Me Too. And as some of the immediate, social media hoopla of hashtag Me Too has gone, you've seen some more of the ripple effect of, I did call someone out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was damage from that, you know, like, and in that case, it's less black and white.
You're talking about Aziz Ansari?
Yeah, there is some, it's murky sometimes.
Right. That one was real murky.
That one was. But I also think, like, there are women who have called out men who, you know, there is a social stigma that they do live with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's easy to get on board and make it tweetable or mm-hmm. consumable.
Right.
But I hope that once some of this immediate uproar quiets a little bit,
mm-hmm.
there will be some more stories that emerge of, I don't disagree with that. Like, Busy Phillips started trending the hashtag, you know me.
I saw that. Yeah.
Which I actually like the hashtag. But
Because a lot of people, I've seen it a lot. Like, for sure, if you are listening to this, you know someone who has had an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not enemies of yours.
Right.
It's not people who
you have to add the humanity back into
it. Right. Exactly. And that's what, we can't let them win, right? And I'm doing that in quotes, but, like, in an effort to not sound like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat, like, we're women. This affects us. This is a choice that women make. Maybe you don't believe women should make that choice. Let's talk about it. How can we help women not make that choice? We don't need men sitting in a room
making decisions for
making that decision.
Right.
This doesn't, like, actually, if you're going to make the decision, you're making it more obvious that it doesn't apply to you.
Yeah.
Like, if you were, like, bringing women in, like, from all different sides, like, not just your Republican governor who's going to sign off on it, because if she doesn't, she'll be chased out of her office with fire.
Right.
Then,
well, and two, just like we always challenge you, because, you know, I can tell you I would not have an abortion, but that does not mean if you have that I demonize you. Like, mm-hmm. really, I need to tap more into my compassionate side mm-hmm. to say, I am so sorry you were ever in that situation.
Right. Like what made you need to do that?
Like,
right.
And so we have to take away the policy, and we have to take away
mm-hmm.
That, like, especially abortion tends to be a make or break along party lines that like it's become so capitalized.
Yeah, a lot of people are one issue voters, mm-hmm. which really makes it important for current Republican Party members to make sure that everyone feels exactly the way they do right now about abortion, which is that they think it is murder and that everyone hates it. And that is why this is such a valuable thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not something that they care about because they're suddenly compassionate. Again, children are dying on our watch. Actual children. Children in the foster system are being abused. Children at the border are being separated from their parents while they're screaming.
Right.
We've seen video of it. Mm-hmm. We had, like, get sick at the video of it. Children in other countries are suffering at the hands of our country's mm-hmm. actions. These are not people that are Congress. And like, I'm not going to cut that along party lines because that has been both sides throughout history.
Yeah.
These are things they've done. So if they really cared about life, they would start there. And they don't. So they're stoking this fire. So what we have to do is say, all right, let's get down to the bottom of it. Like, what can we do to prevent abortions? A big reason why abortions happen is because of finances.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're going to make someone have a baby, and then when they have that baby, you're going to refuse to either give them maternity leave mm-hmm. for a significant amount of time so that you any mandated amount of time, which we have no mandated amount of time. I think right. We're the only developed country that doesn't have any mandated amount mm-hmm. of time. So you're not going to let the mother stay home with her children. Most countries also allow for the father to stay home if it's a mother-father situation. But you're also not going to provide for daycare for this child.
Right.
So then what? Like, mm-hmm. a lot of us don't have family right here. Or even if we do have family, not family who could take the time to watch a child. Our family has jobs. So then what? Like, first of all, you're punishing people by not mandating paid maternity leave. Mm-hmm. I don't know that New York is the only one that has, like, public preschool. Mm-hmm. Like, New York enacted public preschool, I think maybe just New York City, last year or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't we all have that? Like, right. I know that it's going to cost me a little bit more of my taxes, but, like, what do you want? Like, if you don't want abortions, this is how we do it. Like, we help our society as a whole by making sure that, like, parents can stay with their babies when they want to. Mm-hmm. Or if parents need to work, there is a place to put that child safely that isn't, like, in some family member's home that's, like, overcrowded or is in an unsafe position. Or then they have to become homeless because they have no money. Like,
well, and, you know, even before that, it's access to birth control.
Oh, and, yes. Perfect. And sex education.
And the taboo of sex in general. Mm-hmm. I read a blog from an acquaintance, actually. I don't know if you are familiar. I'm sure you are because we had a similar background. But with the True Love Waits movement of, mm-hmm. you know, like abstinence until marriage.
Which has had a nationally disproven results. Actually, he came out and... Oh, are you talking about this?
No.
Isn't that from the guy, Josh, who said, "I kissed dating goodbye"?
Yeah, it's that.
He's come out and said this really hurt everyone.
But, you know, I think even in best case scenario, that creates a shame and a stigma around sex.
And so then you can't talk about it.
You can't even talk about it. So
you're not asking how you should access.
You're probably having it. And then, but you can't access or mm-hmm. talk about or whatever birth control mm-hmm. and then that leads to secret shame that mm-hmm. leads to
pregnancies, you know, or
unwanted
STDs.
Pregnancies.
Yeah.
So even I completely agree with you about how we structure maternal benefits isn't even the right word, but maternal services on the back end.
Right.
But even on the front
right.
end.
No, prevent it in the first place.
Yeah,
that's
a big part
of this.
I would venture to say, and I haven't done the research on this, obviously, that America is probably one of the more, like, sex restrictive
we are.
Countries.
We're up there.
Or shaming of it, I guess. Shame isn't the right word, but
they did a study somewhere on the West Coast, and I want to say in Seattle, where they gave really comprehensive sex education, and I don't remember how far reaching the study was, if it was a whole county, I think it was a whole mm-hmm. county, at least one county, maybe multiple counties, or the whole state of Washington, I can't remember.
That sounds great.
A study.
The entire Northeast.
And the abortion rate plummeted mm-hmm. when they gave people comprehensive sex education.
It was in Colorado.
Was it Colorado? Okay.
Yeah, it was Colorado. Dropped like over 40%.
Yeah, and it's nuts, and it's like, these are very real ways, and it's also important to point out that a lot of programs like this are put into place with typically a Democratic president. So, like, abortions went down under Obama. Mm-hmm. And make your decisions as you will, but push your politicians to push for the right programs, because typically Republican politicians are not pushing for social programs because they say they want smaller government. Okay. Smaller government is not choosing what a woman can and can't do with her doctor when they decide, like, what's best. That's not small government. So, like, whatever you feel about pro-life or pro-choice, understand that enacting abortion restrictions is not small government. Mm-hmm. So, like, if that's what you feel, head back to the drawing board.
Right.
I don't know. That's what I... Is that too combative?
No.
I don't know. Is it? You can tell me.
No, I don't think so. I'm still getting used to, like, being okay with just, like, naming parties in that way, because it mm-hmm. does feel confrontational, but that's not a bad thing.
Right.
But it's just like,
yeah.
So for me, like, because I am feeling newly, like in the last like vote election cycle, feeling like I can say I'm not fully Republican. Mm-hmm. But if I'm hearing like vote for a Democrat government, if this is what you want, mm-hmm. I'm still like, I don't know. That still feels party lines. And like my whole walking away from feeling like I am a Republican.
Right.
Is because I'm sick of the party lines. And mm-hmm. so, like, I'm walking away from those single issue things.
Right.
So, for me,
saying.
it still feels like, but my whole, like, lexicon of how I'm voting is not in that.
It's very hard to challenge a way that you've thought for your entire life.
For sure. But I think even more so, it is challenging to still disagree with lots of things that you did. Like, I don't feel like I want to be anti-establishment to the way I was raised because mm-hmm. I still believe 98% of it. There are just things that I am challenging in my own mind. But there's a way to do that, I think, where I'm not fully embracing this other side of like, well, now I disagree with everything. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that is just, it's just a personal
sure
thing. I hate parties, so that's the bottom line. But I do
But
to your point, like, I would say whether you're a Democrat or Republican, vote for the issues that you care about.
Isidewith.com.
Yes.
Isidewith.com. Isidewith.com.
Please, 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 please go there. I did in the last election. I was shocked mm-hmm. in my results. But please do not be a single issue voter. I do have right. a couple of friends who I know that they vote purely for abortion. Not for abortion. They vote based on abortion.
They're pro-choice is what I'm saying.
That's not what I'm
saying.
No,
but I mean, it's true that a lot of people do that. And I'm also like, that's a waste of a vote to me because you could be doing these things. Like, other people do want to enact these things. Elizabeth Warren wants to do these things.
Well, yeah. And that's what I was going to say. Also, that's why I sided with this so great because mm-hmm. it does not just give you a political party. It gives you candidates.
Right. And it won't even say, like, vote Democrat. It's like, vote this person, this person, this person, this mm-hmm. person. And then as your own, this is like turning into like an ad for iSideWith.
We will send them an invoice.
Yeah, exactly. But as elections get closer and people closer to you become more and more obvious, like, that person will pop up. So, like, if it's like a different issue on a state level, that would be a different person. Like, maybe you side with the Democrat somewhere and the Republican mm-hmm. somewhere. I agree with you that I don't think our system works. And I think I would love to have a discussion probably in another episode.
You probably need another co-host because you're way more informed about this. I just know what I know in my gut.
Well, like, I just think other government systems are so interesting because we're raised with R1.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're doing it a different way.
And it's working for you?
The heck?
Yeah, because we do feel like if it is not two parties, then our whole system will fall apart.
Right, right. And independence, whatever, I don't want to get into the last election. But, I mean, it's, back to what you were saying. There are a lot of ways to prevent pregnancies from the beginning, like providing easy access to birth control. And, again, that's another thing that the government has tried in the past to limit is allowing companies, which, first of all, I didn't question for a lot of my life why companies mandate your health care.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to question that.
Well, I would like a whole episode about health care because they are on my list.
Totally.
I'm writing a letter to all of them.
We should. I don't know.
It would just be full of anecdotes.
I can't do Game of Thrones and healthcare in one episode because.
Yeah, well, mine would just
my blood pressure will skyrocket.
Well, which then we'd run into the whole issue.
Right. Then I'd have to like sit here and like trash my insurance company and then like need them in 5 minutes. So
anyway,
they don't listen. And it's not the person, it's the system.
But I do think that we can all agree, regardless of how you would self-identify as pro-life or pro-choice, that there are major flaws in the system.
Right.
And when it comes down to it, we as human beings and we as women mm-hmm. care about one another. And when it comes down to it, we care about children. We care
right.
about...
That's what this is really all about.
About each other as mothers, our community growing mm-hmm. and thriving mm-hmm. with new generations ahead of us. And that is a complex issue.
It is. And you will not understand that until you dive into the stories. And it's like I said last week, diving into other people's stories and figuring out what someone else believes and why doesn't mean you automatically agree with them. And it doesn't mean you side with them. Like, we talk about this all the time. I read an interesting perspective. I've read a lot of stories from people who've decided to come out and talk about their abortions through very painful, like, it's painful for them. You know, like, you don't really want to talk about miscarriage.
Right.
So
woohoo, time to talk about it again.
Like, these are not exciting life events, and it's a very hard process. And I've read a lot of pieces about people who've had late term abortions, which again is something that some media and some politicians will take as very criminal, in that it's very much like they just want to kill babies.
Right.
And it's just very upsetting.
Like, there's
and,
nothing that would motivate them to do it. They just don't want to kill children.
Right, exactly. And it's like, again, like, think about that. That can't be true.
Right.
Like, if you are 32 weeks pregnant, you wanted that baby.
Right.
And, like, it's not that, like, you know, as I was raised with the saying and the belief that, like, God can work miracles, that's neither here nor there. But, like, to me, I equate it to if you have a born child or a loved one on life support.
Right. That's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, you might have to make a really hard decision. Mm-hmm. You have the choice.
No, I'm agreeing with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm
oh, saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, I'm not, it's not like, you. And the point is, like, people agonize over these choices in life and, like, before birth for all their loved ones. It's not an easy choice to make. And if you want a pregnancy, if you're over 20 weeks, first of all, that's like under 2% or under 1% of all pregnancies is late term abortions. And it's really been blown up. So all I'm saying is educate yourself. We should all educate ourselves. You wanted that baby real bad. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a they're killing,
like, a flippant.
Right. Like, they're killing babies when they're born. That's not what's happening. And the stories that I've had to read I've chosen to read are tear jerking because it's painful, because I remember when I was at those week counts, mm-hmm. and like what you would choose to do in your pregnancy doesn't mean someone else will walk through that. Doesn't mean someone else will survive that themselves. And my point with that is just listen to the stories. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot about that perspective. I read a perspective of an adoptive mom, because, you know, the thing is, like, for you and I, we haven't had to walk this road specifically.
Right.
But for a lot of people, it is tough to see this kind of thing debated back mm-hmm. and forth, because they've had to walk these hard roads. And I read a perspective from an adoptive mother who gets really upset when she sees people passing around, like, the just to put your baby up for adoption, because, like, you really, like, you are really asking someone to let a part of themselves go, mm-hmm. who might not have, like, it's a big thing. I don't want to tell that person's story. I don't, like, I'm not here to tell everyone's story. It's a big ask. Mm-hmm. And none of it is easy. That's my point. I don't like that this is a choice that people feel like they have to make, mm-hmm. obviously, but it isn't up to someone to make a law, because, again, like, there's just too many nuanced situations. There's conversations that we can have. There's things that they can actually do that will really help plummet the number of abortions.
Well, to the point that you made earlier briefly, legislation is not going to stop them happening. And
exactly.
So
they have always
that
happened.
Is. Yeah. And so that is such a granular thing, whether you agree or disagree. And that's the point that I've come.
Oh,
to
good point.
Of, like,
yeah.
I can really hate abortions mm-hmm. and hope that they never happen. Mm-hmm. But I would be sticking my head in the sand to believe that if Roe v. Wade gets overturned,
children will survive.
That they won't
and
happen.
Thrive.
Yeah. And in fact, there will be, it's like prohibition. How well did that work?
Right.
It didn't. People didn't stop drinking.
Good point.
So to me,
it's a really good point.
There is some legislation that has to take place to keep everything as safe. And mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's not be ignorant and naive about what legislation would or would not do.
So. Oh, yeah, exactly. Women have power. We all have a lot of power. And if we will rally around these other things, like, if you really care, if we care about these children, I can make big improvements in this.
Yeah.
Like, get on the phone.
Right.
Like, get on the phone. Or I have this great app called Stance.
Okay.
And it's so easy. You just plug in, like, basically your district.
Uh-huh.
And it says, these are your senators. These are your representatives.
Oh, that's great.
All you do is you call and leave them a message. You don't even talk to them.
Oh.
You use this app. You leave a message and it rings them. Until someone, and again, I think we talked about this when we talked about, we're talking with Audrey
about
this
diaper bank
situation in North Carolina, which we got some great news from Audrey about, which
yes,
we'll cover
we
at the end. But you don't even, like, it's like an intern or something like that. Like, it's like a staffer. Like,
right.
I am not picking up the phone and speaking to Tom Tillis. That will not happen. You are speaking to, like, a 20-year-old.
Right.
So like, pick it up. You are, like, a grown-up, and this is what you want. You want babies to live. You want people not to have to make this choice, right? Like, if you're pro-life,
mm-hmm. exactly.
how you can we be pro-life?
Right. So be pro-life by eliminating the chance that somebody
yeah.
would be in that
yes.
situation. That's how
put
to be
sex education
positively
in our schools.
Pro-life.
I was just having a conversation with my friend Joya this weekend about things that she's really... her hands are tied mm-hmm. as far as like conversations she can have and like questions that came up in her classroom that really shocked her about things that kids did not know.
Right.
And it's like, these are kids that are having sex for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and again, like you cannot preach abstinence because that's one set of beliefs.
Right.
Like some people will choose that and that's fantastic. Like you should choose what you're comfortable with,
right.
what you want to do with your body. And that's my
right.
point, but you can't make everyone else do it. And
right.
like, also it's not going to, like, again, we can't stick our heads in the sand. It's not
right.
going to happen.
You can't be ignorant that if that's what you choose, that is what everyone else
right.
is choosing.
And that everyone's going to stick by it. Who said they will do
right.
it? Because I believe, and look this up to confirm, I'm pretty sure I read it, that teen pregnancy rates like skyrocket when it's an abstinence mm-hmm. only thing. So like, step one is like, get sex education in our public schools.
Right.
Because like, these kids don't know.
Yeah.
And I forget like what I didn't know because,
well, I knew nothing.
I'm grown.
I still know nothing.
Yeah,
I regularly Google things.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine I would have known anything back then.
Yeah, I know I didn't.
So I mean, we need to educate the kids. Start there. Like, that shouldn't be a big ask. That should not be a big ask of our representatives and senators to teach our children a biological function of their bodies.
Of their bodies, right.
And again, like, not that we intended to make this a very big episode about politics, but like, we are in charge here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like freaking HBO. Like, I pay your salary.
Like, all back to Game of Thrones.
It's all back to Game of Thrones. I pay your salary with my taxes. Like, you are beholden to me. And if you want to be back in office, stop teaching abstinence only. Teach sex education and lower these rates. That's not a hard one.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that.
Agreed.
Paid,
co-sign.
Yeah. Paid healthcare, paid maternity leave is a bigger ask. But again, I think, and I might be wrong, we are one of, if not the only developed country without mandated paid maternity leave.
Yeah.
Mandated maternity leave at all.
Right.
I mean, I don't have to tell you that.
No, tell me more about it.
You've never taken a day of maternity leave
yeah, I would
in your
have,
life.
The company that I'm with now does have paid maternity leave, and I would have a fourth child just to take that.
Right,
just
right.
to experience what that
Tempting.
Can be like. Yeah. Well, I think that kind of wraps up where we are. Do you feel like we've covered this topic? You've said many things.
I have. I've said a lot of things. And
this is a Hannah heavy episode.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Oh, she rolled her eyes.
I was just checking my phone. It was no eye roll.
No. This is something I'm really passionate about, if that wasn't clear.
Yeah, it didn't come through. At least, hopefully it comes through on that. On
yeah.
the audio medium.
Exactly. But again, and this is a conversation that we want to destigmatize.
Yeah.
So,
as you heard, I mean, we don't necessarily feel the same way about everything. And
right.
that, but we can come to the table with the same end goal in
right,
mind.
Right, right. What do we want? Like, less abortions, more healthy people
yeah.
prospering
yeah, and
in
I
life.
Yeah, and I think that period.
Right,
we
right.
We could have made this episode much shorter to say that. Because
right.
whatever end of the continuum that you're on,
right.
really that is your goal.
For sure. And for sure, women will be the ones to have to make this change.
Yeah.
Like, we really, it is on us. Is that where onus comes from?
Yeah.
Seriously?
No, I don't know.
The onus is on
us. Did you think that I was saying the wrong word when I say onus?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know onus is a word. It just hit me in this moment. It is on us, women.
Yeah, I wonder for this.
We will make this change or we will not. And I would love to not live in a reality of The Handmaid's Tale. So if we could, real quick, like...
Hey, everybody, huddle up.
Huddle up.
Let's figure this out.
I don't look good in red, obviously. Look at me, first of all.
I see
okay,
that.
Okay, stop nodding.
Agreed.
But I mean, this is on us. We have to come together, and maybe we don't like the way that everyone is going about it,
yeah.
But we all ultimately want the same thing in the end. I don't get on the phones, write your letters,
hard stuff.
March,
hard stuff.
On that note, you have heard us talk about Audrey Symes.
Yes, one of our listeners. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Audrey. She has talked to us about the benefits, about the ease, basically, of helping out with any extra diapers you might have. And then she came to us with a bill that was being proposed and needed some support from one of our North Carolina senators. So we put it to you guys on Instagram, and we got some really good news from her. Do you want to?
Yeah. So like Hannah said, they proposed that the Senate actually recognize diaper banks as a source of diapers for those in need.
Okay.
Our senator here was looking for a partner and found one in a North Dakota senator.
Perfect.
Which was awesome. And
this is a bipartisan bill. I remember that she's saying there's a lot of bipartisan support.
Yeah. It was resolved. The resolution recognizes the importance of diaper banks in providing diapers to families in need.
Right, and so, I think Audrey's name is on the legislation,
yeah,
she said,
sure,
which is
and,
awesome. Like, that is, this, be more like Audrey, all of us. Like, I'm telling myself.
Yep. She sent us a picture of the congressional record. I will post it in our feed.
Yeah, because that's, like, that she is using her voice to help women.
And
so
did
good
it
for
in
you,
such
Audrey.
A very organic, fantastic way.
Right.
I know listeners that heard it were also moved to either donate diapers, call in
right.
support of this. And now you can say, hey, we are all part of making this happen.
Right.
And Audrey was really leading the charge here. So, Audrey, thank you.
Yeah, and good for you. You're out there doing the hard work. So... We didn't really want to end this episode on more of a jokey note because a lot of this is more serious, but we do want to encourage you and ourselves in that it's a really good idea always to have these conversations. I'm not saying everyone's always going to want to talk about their medical history or violate HIPAA to discuss
things
with you.
I have mine downloaded right now, so if anyone wants it, I will send it to you.
You posting it on Instagram.
I will. Little by little. It's a long one. But, you know, if you are having a hard time figuring out how to broach the conversation, or if you have a friend who may not be feeling the exact same way as you are about it, definitely feel free to share this episode. Let us do the talking for you and then figure out how you can talk about it at the end.
Yeah, it's a good idea to have conversations with your friends. Women come together. That's the good idea. Always.
Always.
No joke.
All right, and we will be back here next week, probably with a more lighthearted topic.
Probably healthcare, should we? Or another Canada's political system?
I don't know. Let's see what the Kardashians get up to between
maybe
now and then.
Maybe in July we'll hit that one back up.